Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Welcome to the Barkin' Boys podcast. Today, we're talking about one of the coolest gentlemen to ever live. The Mothman, which arguably are both pretty cool gentlemen, if I say so myself.
Yeah, they're both very respected in their own means, I guess.
Well, I mean, like one was like a real war hero.
Yeah, we got war hero.
You know, decorated war hero, and then you got like a guy who's a moth and a man.
Oh, God, the dogs, it'll be fine. Anyways.
The barking. They got that dog in them. You got to forgive them for that.
Yeah, can't forgive the dogs for them barking. All right, Matthew, I'm going to take this one away with my man Lafayette G. Poole, otherwise known as War Daddy. And the name War Daddy might be a little familiar if any of y'all have watched Fury. Brad Pitt's character plays the name of War Daddy. That's his call sign or nickname they gave him. Which he was based off of this guy I'm about to talk about. Oh, Lafayette, born in Texas, because as you should. But we're just going to jump straight into this guy getting into the war. He served in the third Armored Division in France between June and September of 1944. Commanded three different M4 Shermans, all of them being, two of them being different variations. His other squad mates being we got Corporal Wilbert Red Richards, was the driver, Private First Class. Oh God, Bertrand. Yeah, we'll go with Schoolboy. That was his nickname. He was the and then we have assistant driver and battle gunner Corporal Willis Groundhog Over, the gunner, and technical fifth grade Delbert Gilbert Boggs the loader. Delbert. But Poole's first tank, which he named In the Mood, lasted from June 23rd until June 29th. It was hit by a Panzerfaust, forcing Poole and his crew to bail out of the tank, which they gave him. They were able to take they got the tank back to be repaired from armored. But his second tank being an M4A1 with a 76, because he had been using the smaller gunned M4s. And that one lasted...
I think it's a short barrel 75, I think.
Yeah, I think they use a short barrel 75, and then this one's the big barrel 76. Which it was an easy 8, but still. Went from July 1st to August 17th. So this one lasted a little bit longer, and Lafayette loved this tank because of that 76. That tank, I'm just going over his tanks real quick, and then we'll get more detailed on the in-betweens. That tank, unfortunately, was struck by a P-38 Lightning. Friendly fire knocked out that tank for a minute.
Oh, shit.
And so, whenever that tank was knocked out, they ended up giving him back his first tank with the short 75, and he hated it. He was like, I hate this tank. He goes, it's got a small gun on it. And he was like, we'll just sit here and wait for, the new one to be repaired. And they're like, no, you're going to go out in that tank and you're going to, go out and do your job. And so he told his crew, he was like, hey, y'all guys go over and grab some food or something or other. And so this guy, a War Daddy, hops in this tank because he didn't want to take his crew out in it and drove it into a lake. It's not a confirmed story, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened because they ended up getting a third tank.
It's crazy how there were like 300 people there and no one saw a damn thing.
Yeah, no one confirmed anything, but this guy being so proficient at what he did, they weren't going to reprimand him or anything. They were like, all right, give him another tank. So they gave him another 76, M4, which he named In the Mood 3. Which, there's In the Mood 1. That's not a short belt 75.
No, that's a 76. That's second one.
Oh, okay, that's the second one. Yeah.
You can't see it, but I just posted a little picture of him fucking going to town in that tank.
So let's get into this man, and he's an American tank ace.
Well, I just want to touch like a little bit on just like we talked a little bit about like his tanks and his nicknames and stuff. Every aspect of this guy is baller as hell. Like, I don't know if y'all know anything about the military, but like you don't get nicknames for positive like anything unless you're really good at it, right? Like, you know, it's like the Top Gun thing. He's called Baby on Board because he, like, I forget what it is, like, freaks out or whatever. You know, you get called Peaches because you ate a can of peaches and then shit yourself. Like, these aren't, like, pleasant things. So if you get a nickname that's, like, fucking cool, like War Daddy, you're probably pretty good at what you're doing. And then in the fucking 40s, he's just like, we are in the mood. All right?
Yeah. Well, okay, so In the Mood comes from a big band in the 40s called the Glenn Miller Band, and they had a song called In the Mood, which was pretty popular because, you know, big bands were, you know, it back then. And they had In the Mood and stuff like that, so that's why he really liked that band. That's why he named his tank In the Mood. But also, not only was this man a killer of, like, tanks, this man was a undefeated boxer, and that's kind of where his War Daddy name kind of comes from. This man was an undefeated boxer and even boxed while he was in service and whatnot, and I don't have how many wins he exactly had, but this man was upwards of, like, 40 wins, just straight knockouts, never lost.
So there's this, like, old saying, and it's like, you know, if you have, like, 100 fighting men fighting in a war, you got, like, 90 of them probably shouldn't be there, you know, or sorry, like 50 of them shouldn't be there, 30 of them are halfway decent, you know, 10 can keep their head on in a fight, 9 are actually like good to have around, and then there's the one dude who's really carrying the fucking team, and this is that guy.
Yeah, this is
like he's the one out of 100.
Yeah, and he was quoted saying, because he had a couple of guys that came up and wanted to like be in his crew. Some, like, young recruits, and he pretty much told them to fuck off because he wanted to have the best tank crew in the division. Which, here is another... I'll send this one, too. Here's another picture of him on top of... There's the next picture of In the Mood. Anyway, so, you know, it's past D-Day. They're crossing into France, whatnot. And, this man discovered that the easiest way to fight a panther... or even a tiger is from behind is putting a round in the ass end of those tanks. So, he was pretty much, he kind of like strategized his tank driving around getting behind these fuckers, which, you know, not real easy, but,
where is it at? It's worth mentioning, like, this is the war that battle doctrine, like, got learned. Like, yeah, the previous war wasn't, you know, it didn't have, like, light mobile tanks, you know, they were like these really heavy pillboxes on wheels, right? And so, like, sure, I mean, it may seem like an obvious, like, oh yeah, in every video game I've ever played, you gotta get behind the tank to knock him out, but this guy's like,
yeah, he was one
learning on the job. You know, it's not just one of those things where we can sit there and think about it too much. You have to be pretty goddamn attuned to even try that after you learn it, you know, because what's usually around a tank is more tanks.
So this is a crazy little story. This is nightfall in France. Okay, they're in this tank. It's pitch black out. So they're driving along, and out of nowhere, Poole just screams, "Driver, halt!" over the intercom as he spotted a German cannon in the darkness directly ahead of him. He was about to call out, "Driver, halt!" whenever he saw the cannon, but instead he screamed, "Gunner, fire!" And they let off a quick... They shot off a quick round. His round went straight through the gun before the enemy could even react. Which, it's not only that this guy was good, his crew was fucking just on top of it, too. Because imagine, you're putting a tank round through a, you know, another tank's barrel. Later another night, they're advancing. They almost ran into a German Panther tank, which, if y'all don't know, the German Panther tank, it was one of the scariest things you could run into besides the Tiger.
They were so fucking cool looking.
Yeah, they were cool looking. They were armored to all hell, and they had a scary ass 76 millimeter gun on top of them too. They could take out anything the Americans really had. The Panther turned, shot at them, got two shots off, but they both miss. And then their gunner Aller, in the mood, turned, put one round right through the turret, blew the ammunition up inside the Panther, and it blew off the turret of the Panther tank. Of course, he always led the columns too. He was always making sure that he was at front because he wanted to be, you know, the first one into it. If I can get into it, they also got into it with a train, with a German train. They were going along, and they ran along a set of railroad tracks, and they're like, hey, you know, German tanks or German trains are going to be coming down this line. And sure enough, they got onto this track, and here comes a train. Well, they put a round straight through the train, and well, it derailed the train. And, well, they start driving up to figure out what's on this train. Well, turns out it was a train hauling Panther tanks to the front lines. And so, in the middle of this, they're scrambling. They're watching all of these German soldiers get onto these tanks, and they are just firing as fast as they could to try to take out as many Panthers as they could. I think they took out, like, four or five that were coming off of that train before they had to back off. But just think, you took out a train, and then you turn around and you take out four or five tanks on the back of said train.
That's like spawn camping, though, right? Like,
yeah, he was pretty much spawn camping the Germans. He was at the, you know.
Yeah, fuck them, dude. Honestly, they deserve it, if anybody. So, oh well.
But, there was another little bit later after that, they were pushing, of course, into the German area. It was a hilled area. They were rolling up. They had accounts that a scout had seen at least two Panther tanks inside of a like small village, I believe. And they decided that they were going to roll up onto a hill that overlooked the village. So him alone, this lone M4 Sherman, goes up over a hill, and as soon as they crest that hill, there's a Panther looking square in the fucking face. And of course, they just start loading and firing as fast as they can. They took out the two in the town, I believe. And let's see, how many confirmed kills did this man end up walking away from the war end? 258 total armored kills, which counted for self-propelled guns. He had 12 confirmed tank kills. And he was given the rank, or given the deal of tank ace. They wanted to give him the Medal of Honor, but the president at the time was like, no, we can't give one man a Medal of Honor for an entire tank cruise deal. So,
that's
fucking I mean,
yeah. I would like to list off this guy's awards real quick. So we got a Distinguished Service Cross, which is like second to the Medal of Honor and whatnot. He got a Silver Star, Legion of Merit, Purple Heart, amongst other things. And then the French gave him the Legion of Honor and then the Croix de Guerre, whatever that means. But basically, it was just you fought against the Axis in the Second World War. Just like highly decorated with some really cool, really prestigious medals.
So a little bit of life after the war. He retired from the army, September 19th, 1960. Because
this guy had 8 fucking kids. I mean, like, yeah, that's
good.
That's
Lord.
Just, dude was
that takes some fight, man.
He wasn't only in the mood in the tank. Listen, bro,
he was in the mood, man. That's what he's thinking of the whole time, just like killing and
laying it down. But he, you know, this is also crazy too. He worked as a preacher for a little bit.
What the? Okay, interesting.
Yeah, just imagine. Yeah, yeah, preacher. What do you do? Oh, I was busy. You know, handing out. You know, fuck you awards.
But fucking an ass whoopings.
Yeah,
by the fucking dozen, dude. Oh my god.
Yeah, the crew that I trained for a tank could fire it. You know, he also during the military. Because like after the war, he stayed in the military. He was like an instructor and stuff. And then like 1948, he became an instructor in auto mechanics for the armored division, which is cool. So this guy could not only could he sling rounds, he could also sling wrenches. He also coached Little League baseball. What did this man not do? What the fuck? But
I real fucking. What a guy. Like, he did what Brad Pitt couldn't do, and that was live after the movie. So, you know.
Yeah, he lived to the age of 71, where he died May 30th, 1991. He had four sons and four daughters. Unfortunately, he did one of his sons, it looked like, Captain Jerry Lynn Poole Sr., was declared missing in action during the Vietnam War. His son was a team leader in the 5th Special Forces Group. Damn, that's in Cambodia. That's crazy, but yeah, this man was such a badass with a tank. They literally made a movie with Brad Pitt starring. I mean, hey, Brad Pitt can play me, you know. But
we're gonna watch fucking 2 hours of turning a wrench and like, being a family man.
Yeah, you have to fuck every couple minutes. But now when we play Hell Let Loose, depending on my position in a tank, I shall now be called War Daddy.
Okay. you know, that's fine, I guess.
Yep. No, so now call me War Daddy. Or you can call me War Dad, because I don't want to take his name. No. War Father.
War Father.
Conflict Papa.
But you know what else is, like, really mysterious? You ever seen a moth?
Like, the segue is incredible.
Those fuckers just be looking at light and be like, damn.
Damn.
That's lamp. Pretty cool.
That's crazy.
I'm all about that, actually. give me damn. More. Give okay, me dude. Okay, light. So we're going to, like, this is going to be a little embarrassing, but I have wondered my whole life, and, like, I guess I still wonder, but when I was a kid, it was a particularly strong, like, curiosity. I never got resolved. Like, why aren't they all dead from flying into the sun? Okay, like, hear me out. Like, if they are so into light, why the hell haven't they all?
Can I Google that? Why don't moths fly at these? Oh my god, it's a question other people have asked.
Moths, well, I mean, like, it's a pretty good question.
We're on the ground level. We're beginning this.
Okay, so this is the top Google answer.
This is the top of the iceberg.
Moths don't fly to the sun because their wings vibrate to increase their flight muscles, but they don't have enough radiant energy from the sun to do so.
Okay, so they're fucking, it's just L. It's just
skill issue. The L plus ratio, skill issue, I pretty guess, weak. Yeah,
it's just, you know, they literally just can't. Oh, it's also because they're nocturnal.
Oh, well, yeah.
So they're sleeping? That's the only reason? Are they fucking idiots? Like, do they
need to fucking rise and grind out here, man. They're fucking
dude, if they were, like, whatever not nocturnal is, normal, if they were normal, then, like, they would really fucking have it made, you know? Like, they just have all the sun in the world, and they wouldn't have to, like, run in and piss on my fucking screen door. Like,
Do you ever wonder if Mothman ever tried to fly at the sun?
Dude, that'd be hilarious.
He was trying to go home. The home was his son.
The home is his son.
I really wish I watched this documentary before this. I would have had a lot more. I'm the Mothman of Point Pleasant.
Dude, same. I've been looking at that. It was like, it's one of the first things it referenced is, like, that's a documentary made from the original people who wrote on about Mothman. So let me start at the beginning, right?
As you should.
True. In 1966, in Point Pleasant, there was two people who were a couple going to the woods, driving around, and they claimed that they saw anywhere from 7 to 10 foot creature with glowing red eyes and wings in the within the forest, take flight, and when they ran, it followed them back into town. And this is in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and this is the first spotting of the Mothman. From there, that set off the springboard, right, for everybody else to start seeing this. About a year, in that year, there was like 100 plus, I think most of them are bullshit, but there was like 100 plus sightings of Mothman throughout this area. A lot of people who saw this sighting, interestingly enough, were followed up by what people could only describe as G-Men. Or, you know, the men in suits, men in black hats, the men in black, the ones who were going over who were, like, interested in UFO sightings would knock on these people's doors and basically intimidate them to not talk about any of the sightings that they were witnessed, that they may have witnessed, which is insane. Another one being, I think it was Susie or Sue or something like that. She was a journalist. Who was like, okay, I'm going to get to the bottom of this and I want to discover Mothman. And she hooked up with another dude who ended up, they came together and ended up writing a book, which became the Mothman Prophecies documentary. And the dude that she hooked up with was well known in the area for investigating UFOs.
Fucking John Keel.
Yeah, that's his name. God. according to a lot of the research, is interesting. They went to a place called the TNT area in the local vicinity, which was an old munitions World War II facility or bunker.
Yeah, it was. It's where they housed like excess bombs.
Oh, like,
yeah, it was a bomb storage area.
I mean, that's pretty common. Like,
yeah, it's not.
You want to have more bombs than you need, right? Like, this is a question of like more is more. You know,
we dropped so many of them, so you know, why not have more?
But along with that, people wouldn't really know what Mothman was. Some people are like, oh, it's bullshit, it's a hoax, or it's a myth or urban legend. It comes from, you know, fucking way back in the day when this is an old ancient creature. This is just something we haven't discovered yet. Some people think that he is an omen for disaster, which I thought was
the bridge.
Yeah. So
you gonna talk about the bridge?
Yeah. Not just the bridge. There were a few other examples that I had. Which tab was I on? I missed my tab.
One time I saw him and then I couldn't get it up. I, like many other men, have had that problem, but I did not see the Mothman.
Oh no!
It
says this dude could fly as fast as 100 miles per hour. This motherfucker!
Who the fuck pointed a radar gun at him? Where are we radar gunning the Mothman?
They said, according to witnesses, the creature was able to fly at incredible speeds, perhaps as fast as 100 miles an hour.
How are you like, yeah,
this is
maybe.
The 1960s. They hadn't even seen a car go 100
fucking,
miles an hour.
They're fucking eyeballing him.
Dude. I mean, but they ain't seen a person that big fly,
okay,
right?
Okay,
so
okay,
it's only
give
spitball.
Us some fucking tragedies that he befell so we can, like, fucking ground ourselves for a second. Like,
we got a... so this bridge was called Silver Bridge. It was built back in 1928, nearly the 30s, in Point Pleasant. It was officially called Point Pleasant Bridge, right? A day before a tragic event happened and the bridge ended up fucking collapsing.
Killed 46 people.
Yeah, and killed a lot of people. People said that they witnessed Mothman on that bridge and around that area right before. And they were like, oh, maybe it's he's a bad omen, or he was trying to warn us, right?
No, hold up. Like, did they say this after the bridge collapsed, or were there some people who were like, hey, I saw Mothman on this bridge, and then the next day it collapsed?
So I'm only...
that.
I only found accounts of after. So it's very funny, but it'd be very convenient, right?
Look at the picture I put in the chat!
This is what they saw. No wonder they were so concerned. It's like just the Photoshop of the big-ass moth on top of a bridge. With
That's
red eyes.
Fantastic. So they got him. So, as well as the disaster of this bridge that killed so many fucking people and was a failure, he was also claims to be seen before earthquakes and tsunamis and the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
No, what? God, no, why didn't you stop it?
I found accounts of...
The conspiracy theory is that Mothman caused 9/11.
That's why we don't have footage of the second plane. It was actually the Mothman.
So as well as... he also went international at one point. He was seen before the disaster in Chernobyl in Ukraine.
We're gonna be laughing, and then the three of us are gonna be like out for dinner one time right before like a building gets bombed or something.
We're like, oh my god, is that Mothman?
Holy fucking shit, is that the Mothman? It is gonna blow up, and then we're just gonna, I don't know what we're gonna do, cry a little. So,
they described him
tears
as
of happiness that he got away.
A horrid humanoid with enormous wings and a black headless body and red glowing eyes that sent a message of doom to anyone who saw it, rose above the horizon of Chernobyl and Pripyat. And several employees of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant's control room in the days before the disaster claimed to have seen the being known as the Blackbird of Chernobyl, which is...
No shit! See, this is what I was worried about, is someone's actually going to say it before something goes wrong.
Well, so they claimed that they said it, that's what was said beforehand, but I'm curious if it was just all after, and then the people who were like, well, never mind, they would have been dead. Never mind.
You can...
Never mind. Okay.
Yeah, dude, imagine your skin's falling off and you're dying. You're like, I think I'm going to lie a little bit about the Mothman. Like, that's what we're going to do right now.
The radiation's really getting to me.
Oh, man. I'm getting a little sleepy, eepy. You just fucking...
Man, of all the tragedies, I really hope Mothman wasn't riding the passenger seat of Dale Earnhardt's car. That's all I wanted to know.
Oh, my God. Dude, there was no passenger seat of Dale Earnhardt's car. What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, he still could have been sitting there. You know
that fucking...
Mean?
That number three, that was the devil's work. Don't bring Mothman into that. That was the worst thing that happened in 2001, was the number three at the sidewall at Talladega.
God, fuck. But,
I'm going to hell. That really sucks.
No, yeah, so did the wall. But, he was flying at 100 miles an hour. I mean,
there you go. There's 100 miles. That, you ain't got a fucking eyeball that one.
He's flying fucking 216 miles an hour. Yeah, that's his max speed.
Yeah, there's word that says Mothman set the fastest lap record at Daytona 500.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like if you're a Mothman believer, and there's like, I don't know how good of a case, but I'm aware of like there's a real case that can be made here. We're gonna riff on this like hell, because we had a serious one, and then we had a war one right before this, and it's just like, eh.
No, we gotta let him rip on this
fucking
one.
Yeah,
if I'm wrong, so I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Fucking hilarious. I've heard the biggest like explanation for Mothman is just a giant owl.
Yeah, dude, it's like the fucking Kraken just being like a very large squid. Like, I was like, all right, I guess that's pretty cool, but like, that's the one we're trying for. 55 sightings of Mothman in Chicago during the 2017.
No.
Oh, by the way, Barking Boys, there is a Mothman festival.
Oh, god damn it, we got another thing to put
really
on the
think,
list.
Yeah, okay, so we're going to see not only the goblins of fucking Hellier, Kentucky.
Scientology.
Kentucky. Oh,
Tennessee,
yeah.
Is a different place than Kentucky, I've been made aware.
Yeah, there's somewhere over there.
We are not dealing with Scientology, man. I don't want to get put on their fucking shit list.
Oh, fair.
No, I don't.
That's
really
just like an inconvenience
with,
I don't
with
want
their middle tooth.
Hey, look. I really think, and this is my real theory, I'm going to bring it up again. I brought it up in the past. They are blackmailing Tom Cruise because he has a set of fake teeth, like the one in the middle, because he with his real teeth, bit a homeless person, and he could get arrested for it. And that's my theory that has no backing whatsoever.
I've heard that story before.
But I have no idea where I got that from. But, like,
interesting.
That's in the noggin.
Okay, so I'm going to bring it back to Mothman real quick, just because this is an interesting thing about the bridge. Okay, so here's why they actually think the bridge collapsed. So the bridge was built in like... the bridge was built in 1928, and the
asbestos and duct tape didn't keep up.
Well, okay, so they built it around the time when cars were lighter. Like, the Model T at the time weighed just 1,500 pounds. And then in 67, whenever it collapsed, the average car weighed about 4,000 pounds.
There was like eight semis on it at the time. Yeah, it's fucking crazy how that happened.
Yeah, they said that the bridge was just packed with cars. And so that's kind of why it collapsed, is because it couldn't deal with the weight of new model cars, which, you know, sure.
That's fair. Sure.
How did we feel, if you don't mind me, do we have any more Mothman, or can I pivot to Men in Black?
Oh, dude, you're good to pivot.
Oh, dude, Men in Black?
Okay,
dude,
how do we feel about the Men in Black? Well, okay, excellent first and second film, soft third, and a really bad modern adaptation.
I'll be honest, real quick, though, Tommy Lee Jones carries that movie.
God damn it, I want to agree with you up until the point Frank is introduced, because that dog is the funniest dog there ever was.
You got a good point.
That's Frank. Ah, dude, it's fucking... Oh, man, I love it.
Men, and you can't just Google Men in Black, because it pulls up the movies.
I'm
on that's the all connected. Media. That's why they made the movie.
It's all they made a movie to distract us from it.
I really think that's why Walt Disney made a movie called Frozen.
Wait, have
you heard that theory? He's still alive in cryostasis.
No. Well, I mean, I doubt he's alive, but they have his head in cryostasis, and there was like a really popular conspiracy theory, like, for years about them freezing Walt Disney's head, and I'm like almost certain it's just like a fact where they just like froze his fucking head, and then like they were tired of like getting shit Googled about it, and it didn't want the brand reputation, and of course it's Disney, so they're playing like eight dimensional chess. Like, we're gonna make a movie called Frozen. So when you Google Walt Disney Frozen, instead of it being the stories of some dude's fucking head, it's that movie.
So, like, every time somebody talks about, you know, the Walt Disney thing, I always think of Futurama. Nixon's head.
Nixon's head, yeah.
Yeah, it's the only thing I've seen. So, cool thing about the Men in Black, real quick, in popular media, 1976, Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh, shit.
Excellent. I love Blue Oyster Cult. Band. Yeah, made a song called ETI, which stands for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Contains the line, three men in black said, don't report this. Okay, anyways.
All right.
Did you just, like, find a fucking line in the Wikipedia? You're like, I like that. That's
all right. Yeah, no, I wanted to bring a Blue Oyster Cult, so, because I don't fear the Reaper, so.
All right, I'll take it. That was a little forced, but we'll take it.
Well, you know, yeah, it was really forced, especially the cowbell.
All right. Well, he's getting kicked out of the Discord call.
Oh, my God. I have been removed from the Barking Boys.
There are only two Barking Boys now. No, so what do y'all think? So I think that, like, though... Okay, so there's, like... We'll start out with, like, a broad overview of the Men in Black. It's, like, whenever you see an ET, or, like, you see a UFO and whatever, or, like, you like, think you see an alien or something, and then you're just like, well, that's fucking weird, and then maybe you, like, tell your family or whatever. And, like, 2 days later, some dudes in fucking suits with no identification knock on your door, try to, like, force their way in. Sometimes they're, like, normal-looking. Sometimes they're, like, described as, like, real pale, maybe hairless.
There was one description I got, like, of Walking Dead. Like, they're fucking zombies with fucking, like, just pale as fuck and just no emotion. I was like, that is horrifying.
Yeah, just, like, real fucking, like, skin suit people, right? Like, like if somebody had, like, who had never seen a human, had to recreate it from, like, a pretty decent description but couldn't quite get the nuance, you know? But anyways, they, like, show up and they interrogate, harass, threaten. Some people say they memory wipe, you know, like we've seen in the movie. Or, you know, you could even go so far as to say they, like, fucking kill witnesses to keep them silent. But just, like, mysterious men working for an unknown entity, whether that's government or otherwise. Or maybe it's an alien or, like, you know, Matthew was saying The Walking Dead. And it's just like, holy fuck. What is this? And I think there's probably people who have that job description. Like, yeah, and I don't know if it's exactly like fucking UFOs, but, like, imagine you see, like, you accidentally catch a glimpse of, like, a black budget, like, super aircraft from the US's deepest, darkest vaults that shoots fucking lasers and can fly in any direction or whatever, right? Like, that's, like, something we made, you know?
Yeah.
And you accidentally catch a glimpse of it because you're just at the wrong place at the wrong time. And so they scare the fuck out of you. And then they make you think it's UFO or, like, questioning or whatever to, like, further ambiguize or muddy the water with your fucking description of, like, I saw this and then these people showed up. And it's like it gets less and less believable as it goes on. Or they just shoot you fucking dead if you, like, see an alien just chilling on the street. You know, I don't know. I haven't seen one.
This picture of a man in black has to be the creepiest fucking thing I've seen in a minute. The fuck is that?
Yeah. I mean, that's like a terribly fake photograph, but...
Okay, so this is an actual image. I'm going to have to get the story behind it because... No, not that one, but this one. Of, like, what they believe to be an actual
report of
men in black. I'm trying to figure out where this one actually came from.
You could probably because reverse image search
it. It's a CCTV picture.
Of just, like, two dudes in suits and fedoras or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's really grainy and nondescript.
So people also think that they're aliens.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting thing.
Do y'all think there's any credibility to it?
To them being aliens?
Well, not necessarily the aliens, but just, like, there exists a government entity that we don't know about that, like, actually goes and interacts when people maybe see things.
Listen, as much as we don't know about the government, yeah, probably. I mean, let's be honest. There's probably something out there that's kind of like it, but, you know, will we ever know? Nope.
Oh, I totally believe it. I think that shit's, I don't know. It would make sense of, like, you know, why would you always present all your cards all the time, right? Like, if there are things that, like, it never existed, like, you get people who might believe in it are like, hey, they're super crazy, then it just makes it all the more likely that nobody's going to fucking talk about it or nobody's going to know anything about it because they think the fucking people who, like, believe it are fucking nutcases.
It's real. The most two notable cases of the men in black being, like, spotted by, like, Americans and such is either Roswell or Mothman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's, like...
Have we done a Roswell one? Because, like...
I don't think so.
That could... No, we haven't done it yet, but that could be a pretty...
They definitely had an alien spacecraft crash. Like, I'm on that team for that.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? I'm here for it. I like it, you know?
Dude, they fucking... Okay, so... And they have a copy of it in Roswell, New Mexico. But, like, before they came up with the fucking balloon story, the Strategic Air Command, like the 409th Bomber Group, they were the first to respond to the crash, like, after the farmer called in. And then they go to the news that day and, like, we found a fucking alien spacecraft. And it gets printed in a fucking newspaper. And then the next day, like, the bigger government entities come in, you know, who aren't just, like, good old boys who know how to fly planes. They're like, yeah, that was a fucking weather balloon. But the 409th SAC group is, like, aviation people responsible for executing, like, the destruction of the world if it comes to it. Like, they're... They're not stupid.
Listen, it's shown in the fourth Indiana Jones, the one about the aliens when they go back to...
The Crystal Skull.
Yeah, Crystal Skull, which, by the way, I like that movie. Get over it. Anyways.
They came out with some bomb-ass Lego sets.
Yeah, no, sure. I fucking love the Lego sets. Anyways, but in that movie, they go to Area 51. And they find an alien in Area 51 after Roswell. So it has to be directly linked.
What's my source? Indiana Jones at the temple.
Yeah, what's my historical accuracy? Indiana Jones.
I watched Paul one time, and that has convinced me.
Okay, you want to know the movie that scared the shit out of me as a kid that was alien-related? Was it Signs?
Signs is fucking terrifying.
No, whenever they're inside
the fucking water cups, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whenever they're inside the house and it walks past the window, scared the living shit out of me as a kid.
So I have like a little story about watching Signs. Like, I was like on my way to being a grown ass adult when I watched it for the first time, and it scared the fucking piss out of me. So I've always had, it's gotten better now, but like, a really deep fear of aliens, because I used to have this recurring nightmare where outside of my window in like my childhood bedroom, like just these three aliens, like just like very creepily stared in. And like it was so like bad and visceral and vivid that I could just like, I would feel fear like the whole day after having that nightmare. So I just like always used to be freaked out by aliens. And that hasn't happened in forever, but
damn,
we watched. And before I like kind of got over it, like in modern times or whatever, me and my wife went to a wedding and it's somewhere in East Texas. And that night we went back and stayed with like one of her aunts and we watched Signs. But this aunt lived in the middle of fuck ass nowhere in like the tree swamp, you know, like really wet, dark, and like not like where we're from, so I was already kind of on edge. And then, because I wasn't at the time married to my then wife, they're like, all right, and since you're a boy, you can't sleep in the same bed as a girl, so we're gonna put you in this decrepit ass room with a fucking mattress. And it's just like dark and creepy and everything. And we watched fucking Signs, and dude, I just like set my shit myself all night. Like, it's just like, I am going to die. Like, oh my god, it was terrifying. Yeah.
Okay, so the one that, you know, aliens are something else, but what it used to get me whenever, like, in through high school and a little bit outside of high school, I mean, still, sometimes I get the little spooks from it, but it's watching ghost videos was my thing.
That freaks me out. Like,
yeah, no, ghost things scared the shit out of me, and I don't know why.
Really?
Like, yeah, I mean, you know, I think ghost hunting and stuff is, like, cool as fuck. I want to go ghost hunting at some point.
Because, are you fucking stupid?
Yeah.
You want to invite that shit in your life?
No, hell. I don't want to invite it.
What do you think ghost hunting is, bitch? That's inviting. It's called hunting. That's the invitation. Okay, like, yeah, like if you go hunting a fucking lion, you're not like inviting the lion into your life, but you're like, you are taking direct steps to include it, okay?
Okay, you got a good point. Yeah, yeah, no, I'm like scared of them, but like scared of them to the point like I want to talk to one of them.
I mean, I suppose that's a pretty like empathetic response to fear. Like
you got to think, not all of them have got to be like, you know, murderous intent. You know,
well, I'm not saying murderous intent. I'm just saying like you want fucking an extra friend at all times. Good on you, but don't fucking bring shit near me. You know what I mean?
I guess you got a good point. But like, you know, it's not like I'm like, you know, hey, I think ghosts are 100% real. Because I cannot confirm nor deny that they are, but I think it's just such an interesting topic.
I don't know. Ghosts have never been like a big one for me.
Oh, really? It's been aliens for you?
I've been an aliens guy.
Yeah,
I grew up watching fucking Ghost Hunters all the time, like Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures and all those fucking cheesy ass shows that were on like the Sci-Fi Channel or the History Channel, and they were all fucking just stupid, like.
Like, yeah, shout out to Zach Baggins, be a giant piece of fucking shit.
Zach Baggins, man. Yeah,
Aaron, go in there.
We'd watch that shit, and I'm just like, this is such horse shit.
Okay, but like when I used to watch it, though, I was like, you know, 9, 10 years old, and I was like, oh my god, this is creepy as fuck.
And me then, and my mom would just sit there and fucking riff on that shit the whole
time. Oh, really? You no, know, never. I used to watch them because I used to watch them alone because my family just didn't really fuck with that shit. So I would watch them like alone in my room. And yeah,
I can see why that would be very scary.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, it wasn't really a thing. Like cryptids or aliens or, you know, any of that stuff wasn't really a thing with my parents. And so, you know, I would just sit down and watch it. Specifically, I'd watch it at my grandma's house. And then, of course, my grandma lived... She lived in an older house from the 60s, and this house had never been updated since then. And so I'd watch them, and then I would go to bed, like when I'd stay the night at her house. I would go to bed in one of her bedrooms. That's the
same fucking wallpaper.
the bedroom was just the creepiest thing ever, and it didn't help that... It didn't help either, is they lived on a stretch of acreage, so the house was a little far back from the main road. And so they had a telephone pole that had a light on the telephone pole, so that way you could walk outside and it not be pitch black dark because they had a barn that, you know, you could walk in between. Well, that light was positioned at the right spot that the trees and shit, you could see the shadow inside the window. And so I had to like turn over, put the covers over my head, and just raw dog going to sleep. Because there was no, you know, going down the hallway to go get grandma, because that hallway, it was creepy as fuck too. Ain't no way I'm running down a dark hallway. The fuck? They'll come after me. And what didn't help either is the closet in front of me that where I slept was one of those like accordion style doors. And so, no, I didn't like that either. I don't know what it was with that accordion style door on that closet, but it freaked me the fuck out. But yeah, that's the story of Hardhead being scared of fucking ghosts at a young age.
Honestly, pretty reasonable. Not even gonna lie.
Yeah. So, I hadn't really fucked... The only way I'd known aliens when I was younger was Star Wars and Indiana Jones. So, and, you know, watching enough Star Wars, I was kind of okay with it because, like, hell yeah, I want to meet Chewbacca the fuck. Or Greedo, or, you know, Jabba the
Hutt. I wouldn't want to meet Greedo. Fuck Greedo.
fuck the homie Jabba the Hutt, though. But, you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Hammer Akbar. Fuck that dude, too. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just weird ghost encounters. We swear to God, though. Okay, so Matthew can tell this story a little bit better, though, just so we can... I want to get this story out there, because since we're on the topic of ghosts, whenever me, Matthew, and Saren, my wife, lived in a rent house together...
Oh, is it and, this one? Oh,
yeah, no, you're going to be able to tell this story, because you dealt with it. Matthew's room, okay, his closet had some shit. There was something going on in that closet. Like, I remember at one point, I even think, did we set up a microphone to record stuff in there?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, because there was so much weird ass shit that went on in that fucking rent house.
It's funny, because that's the same place I recorded in, too. in that closet.
Yeah, whenever.
Jesus, fuck.
Yeah, so Matthew had this wild setup in the closet whenever, you know, he was a baby YouTuber. I say baby YouTuber, he was getting there. But so that way no sound would be heard, is he had his microphone and then like a bunch of blankets and like his
blankets
sound.
And pillows and a bunch of other stuff just to get the sound trapped in.
Which was pretty funny at night, because my room was right next to his room, and the closets, like, ran wall to wall. So if I listened well enough, I could hear Matthew recording. but no, Matthew, tell me about some of the stuff that went on in that closet.
Okay, so one of the first things that immediately comes to mind is that whenever... it's straight up fucking sexist, dude. Like, whenever it would be, like, me or you or another one of our buddies... or even sometimes the animals, like Jinx, would be totally cool. But Lyra, who's the female dog that we lived with at the time, would not go anywhere fucking near that closet. Neither would the cats. I think we only had male cats, right?
Yeah, we only had male cats. Yeah,
freaked out Alpha, the fucking skittish one.
Well, he had schizophrenia, so...
Oh, well, fucking something like that.
Are you sure he wasn't just, like, a little more tapped in? Like...
Oh, yeah, true. But it's... And same thing with the... Hardhat's wife would also get freaked out about it, because she was also, you know, female, coincidentally enough. It was really odd. Sometimes it would be like, oh, hey, the temperature felt like it would fucking change in that closet. Like, it would be colder in there. I'd wear hoodies all the time when I was in there, but in my main room, it was fine. There was no leak. There was nothing that was open to, like, the rest of the air. There was no vents in there, which was odd. And there was also a fucking shitload of blankets and pillows. You'd think it'd be warmer.
Which also, too, this house wasn't, like, real old.
It was not.
Late 80s.
Oh, or the children's footprints on the ceiling when you walk into the fucking house.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, they're... was this because of the incident where I had liquid on the roof and then we found him after that?
Oh, when you tried to shotgun.
Okay, so there's a story. I tried to shotgun a beer, okay, and I'd never done it before. And so I stood in front of the front door. I went to, you know, I cracked the hole in it. And, dumbass me cracks open the other side of the beer before I can even, like, get it up and start drinking it. And I made eye contact with, like, Matthew and some of the other people in the house. And I just died laughing at the time that I have this beer up and in my mouth. And I just fucking rocket beer onto the fucking ceiling, okay? And in the midst of that, like the next day later, we found like kids' footprints on the roof of the on like the ceiling.
It was really gross because we tried to clean it, and it was like, oh hey, that's not fucking supposed to be there. Apparently, it was just, I talked to one of the past owners because I worked with one of the people who used to lease that house before we ended up doing that, and she said the same thing because she had a daughter. And she would complain. She would talk about how her daughter would complain and run and scream into her room because she was freaked out about being in the room that I was currently in. It was the wildest shit. I don't know. And she was like, "Yeah, I moved out. That shit freaked me out." And I was like, "Oh, that's great to know. Thank you so much." Did you see the footprints by the front door? And she's like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, that house was so weird. Like, I never slept. So in my room, I had a bed and I had a recliner. And I never really slept in the bed. I slept in the recliner on the other side of the room because I don't know what it was.
Oh, acid reflux from beer consumption.
Actually, at the time, I was, you know, I was new. I was 20. I didn't start drinking until I was 21, so I didn't have anything of that. I just didn't like sleeping in the bed.
I know, I got you guys beer sometimes. Reason.
Well, yeah, I know you did, but like still, I, you know. It was just, you know, a different time. It was weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. That house, it just... Yeah, I mean, the whole entire house was just a walking red flag. So, I mean, a lot of shit went on in it, but, you know.
And that was the whole thing was, like, that was the most frequently when I had night terrors and sleep paralysis was in that house.
Yeah, Matthew.
And then after I moved out, I was fine.
I don't know. Are you okay with me telling, like, the little brief story? Okay.
That's fine. There were a few of them.
Well, I'll just tell about the one that I can remember, somewhat. I remember one night we were all asleep and whatnot, and I remember getting woken up to the sound of, like, screaming. And, you know, of course, I come running out of my room, and at the time, one of our other roommates and my wife were in the other room consoling Matthew, but Matthew wasn't in his bed. He was, like, laying in the middle of the floor having a panic attack. Turns out Matthew had a night terror in his bed and just freaked the fuck out. Just screaming in the whole nine yards and got up out of that bed. Matthew had you had several night terrors and whatnot. Yeah, I had a few. That. And what's crazy is, have you had one since we moved out of that house?
No, I have not. not since any time after that house have I had a night terror. Or sleep paralysis or anything like that.
Yeah, because I know you and my wife had some sleep paralysis shit go on.
Yeah, there were a couple times.
Seeing the Hat Man and whatnot.
Well, there was one story that really stuck with me for a while. Was I was in my bed, I was doing graveyard shift, so I got home and I was exhausted, went to sleep, whatever. And I woke up at like 4 in the morning, and I saw some black silhouette shadow crouched in the corner by the front of the door to my room, and it was just kind of looking at me, and I was looking at it for a while, and eventually I must have fallen asleep because I eventually woke up a couple hours later and there was nothing there, but it freaked the hell out of me because I was like, what did you fucking did what the fuck happened?
I'm sorry,
what's going on?
My bags are packed and I'm out the front door. I see anything like that in the corner of my fucking room. What do you mean? one of these days we need to get we'll have to get Sarah on here. She's got some pretty interesting stories about that house too. It was just weird. What's crazy is it was just a regular neighborhood. It wasn't a house in the middle of nowhere. It was your typical
fucking suburbanite, like,
yes, yeah. Suburban house. Yeah, it was located behind a transmission shop. There wasn't anything odd about it.
Are you sure?
It.
Oh, like, that's what it
just
was.
Just getting fucking inhaled fumes from the...
Yeah, this is the transmission shop was just pumping fucking fumes
in. So there was the thing, too. When we first moved in and I was getting stuff into my room, there were burn marks on the carpet that were resembling some kind of symbolism, if I remember right. It was either on the carpet or underneath the carpet. It was one of those. But it was in that room.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, it was like something had, like, gone on in that room.
Yeah, like, there was some fucking, like, there was a fire or fucking put candles right all over there. I was like, that's really fucking creepy. I'm not about that at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty reasonable thing to not be about, yeah. Well, I got nothing, gentlemen.
I think we did pretty good. I think we're.
I think you know. we'll call it at that. We got Men in Black, War Hero,
fucking awesome,
some crazy fucking shit going on, just chilling, you know, like.
No, just telling little spooky stories, you know what I mean? Whether it's aliens, whether it's ghosts, whether it's Mothman, whether it's the Men in Black, whether it's your war daddy.
Did you know people predicted 9/11? That's crazy.
Yeah, did you know that the Mothman caused 9/11? It's no longer Bush than 9/11.
Why didn't they fucking stop it? Why did the Mothman hate humanity?
Okay, so just real quick, every time you say that, fucking, what is the different time zone? What is it, Australia? There's like a day behind us. Yeah. Why didn't they tell us?
Why didn't they warn us? They knew they're a day ahead. Why didn't they let us know?
Anyways, so y'all have a good rest of your day. Catch us next week for the next big conspiracy theory we drum up out of nowhere.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.